Podcasts and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. Israel launched attacks against targets in Iran overnight. Israeli military spokesman Rear Admiral Daniel Hagari said they hit precise military targets.
We demonstrated today that we have both the capability and the resolve to act decisively. And we are prepared on offense and defense to defend the state of Israel and the people of Israel.
A source told CBS News the Israeli attack was limited to the military targets and not any nuclear or oil installations. The two major presidential candidates veered off the beaten trail in battleground states Friday to visit Texas. Vice President Harris held a massive rally in Houston.
We are about fighting for our future and not letting some people take us back. Because we are not going back. We are not going back.
Former President Donald Trump was in Austin to record a conversation on Joe Rogan's podcast, and then he flew to a late-night rally in Traverse City, Michigan.
I'm leading a movement of optimism and confidence and hope, and I'm asking you to be excited about the future of our country again, because there's nothing to be excited with these idiots.
A cyber hack targeting both presidential campaigns has been confirmed by federal investigators, with China the suspected culprit.
The breadth and scope of this potential cyber intrusion was not immediately clear, nor what data might have been taken.
CBS's Scott McFarlane. President Biden has officially apologized to Native Americans for trauma inflicted on generations of their children.
The Gila River Indian community in Arizona welcomed the president, who called the federally run boarding schools
"It's a sin on our soul."
For more than a century, children were forced from their families and sent to the schools to be assimilated into white society. Many were physically, emotionally, and sexually abused.
It will always be a significant mark of shame.
And that's why Biden became the first American president to do this.
I formally apologize.
Calling the apology long overdue. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
A dramatic Friday night opener for the World Series. Freddie Freeman hit the first game-ending grand slam in World Series history with two outs in the 10th inning. Called on Fox Sports.
Cortez delivers. Freeman hits the ball to right field. She is gone!
And that gave the L.A. Dodgers a 6-3 victory over the New York Yankees in Game 1, the third straight World Series opener to go extra innings. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. The Federal Environmental Protection Agency has come under fire for not placing enough scrutiny on concentrated animal feeding operations, or CAFOs, and tensions have been building in one Wisconsin county for years. Mike Moen reports.
Eastern Wisconsin farmer Nancy Utesh leads the advocacy group Kiwani Cares, one of 13 organizations that sued the EPA over its lack of enforcement of factory farms. The agency itself has admitted that fewer than 30% of CAFOs have Clean Water Act permits. Still, the Ninth Circuit Court this month struck down the petition.
What we need is the really hardcore, meaningful solution building here.
Utesh says because the EPA has been slow to act, CAFOs have found ways to rapidly expand. According to Food and Water Watch, Kewaunee County has 36 factory farms, which produced over 2 billion pounds of waste in 2022, creating water contamination concerns. In their denial, the judges said even though the EPA acknowledges these issues, it's promised to further study manure pollution guidelines and commission a stakeholder subcommittee was not an unreasonable response. Utesh says as the legal wrangling plays out, farming communities continue to grapple with how to respond to the growing presence of industrial agriculture. That includes convincing enough community members to raise their voices.
The social dynamic of speaking out, it may affect your church group, school, any other activities you do, your job.
Advocates point to a key loophole in the permitting process. Under the current EPA rule, as long as factory farms are applying waste in accordance with a nutrient management plan, any discharges related to stormwater runoff are exempt from regulation. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
And I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. You're listening to Civic Media News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear and colder tonight, a low near 30. Sunshine for the weekend, highs in the upper 50s on Saturday. For Sunday, low 60s. Low 70s and breezy Monday. Staying in the 70s Tuesday, a chance of showers Tuesday night into Wednesday of next week. Currently 35 degrees.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will recap the events of the weekend. I'm sure nothing will have happened. And we'll wrap it all up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same. 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. 11 days to Election Day.
We're almost at single digits.
Almost at single digits. Early voting is underway, so you can go cast your ballot. Make sure you do that. Mm-hmm. Be a voter. Everybody who's anybody is a voter.
Yeah.
And your vote counts more this year probably than any other year before. Mm-hmm. We have a jam-packed show coming your way today. Coming up at 10:33, we've talked a lot about tariffs. We're going to learn even more today about tariffs, how they work, who it affects. Donald Trump, of course, has said repeatedly he plans to raise tariffs across the board, and that is going to essentially take care of all of our problems. So James Vanderloo, who is the head at the OEC Group Milwaukee, a global freight forwarder and a leading company in trans-Pacific trade. James Vanderloo joining us at 10:33 to talk tariffs. If you have questions, text them in now. Yes. At 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Dan Schaefer will be here from the recombobulation area after the 11 o'clock news. At 11:33, we'll lighten it up a little bit with Tyler Moss from Milwaukee Record and see what is going on with that group. They're a lot of fun. Oh, and yeah, we're going to wrap it up today, as we always do now, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Sister Act Edition. It's a good one.
This one's a fantastic one. I think one for the ages.
Yeah, it's a good one. Greg found this earlier this morning. It should make you laugh.
Yes.
It should make you laugh. I wanted to start off, though. This was big news that hit just as we were getting off the air yesterday.
Yes.
Bob Coles, who has been a Republican lawmaker in Wisconsin for almost four decades, announced on Civic Media, on Rational Revolution, hosted by Mark Becker, that he's going to be supporting Kamala Harris. Calvin, let's play that clip, please, from Robert Coles.
I probably should have done this sooner, but there was concern, you know, about blowback and public safety and all that. So I'm going to be ready for that. And I really think this is the most important, one of the most important things I've done. Mm-hmm. And hopefully people will accept that and listen to me. Those that have trusted me and, you know, believed in me, we'll think about that. And if they're undecided, that we have to make a change here. And Trump has to be defeated. And we have to protect the Constitution. And the country will go on.
And he continues with, even with some liberal things that Harris might do or might not do, you have to have the foundation of the Constitution to protect democracy. If you don't have that, we will disappear.
I thank you, State Senator Coles.
Major respect for your willingness to do that and take this risk.
Yep. Mayor Sean Riley, same. All the Congressman Upton from Michigan, all the Republicans who are stepping forward and endorsing Kamala Harris. And really, honestly, it's true. You have to think about the blowback. The blowback is not, and we're not talking about like, oh, they're going to pick at you. I heard a story, and I've been going back and forth on this with regard to like, well, why aren't more sitting GOP leaders endorsing Kamala? Doc Rivers, not a politician. He is the coach of the Bucks.
Right.
He did a get out the vote, vote early, just get like nonpartisan.
Just encouraging people to vote and be part of the process.
He got death threats for
encouraging people to vote.
Yeah. So can you imagine a GOP either sitting, retiring, or former going against your party? Like we said yesterday, boom. Well, I guess Mr. Coles is a liberal now.
Yeah. He's a rhino.
Just a full-blown liberal ready to just tackle all the liberal agendas.
Right. He's been in the Wisconsin state legislature for 42 years.
Yeah. He is seen as one of the rational Republicans that were left in the state Senate and in Madison.
Yep.
And it's going to be a shame to lose him.
It is.
But I mean, hopefully in 11 days, people will come out and show that fair maps breeds more compromise, more working together,
more response to your constituents.
Exactly. Exactly.
Actually accomplishing things your constituents, I don't know, want.
Yeah.
Big props to State Senator Robert Coles, Republican from Green Bay, announcing yesterday on Civic Media's show Rational Revolution, hosted by Mark Becker. Becker is the former chair of the Brown County GOP and is now part of Wisconsin Republicans for Harris Walz.
And that's, I mean, in Civic Media, we've got Todd Alba, who works with the Lincoln Project.
Alba was a Republican for 30 years.
Yeah. These are not people who are walking away from the Republican Party because it's cool. It's because their party has failed them and has changed in such a way that does not resemble, you know, there's a lot of things about the GOP I don't enjoy, but at least at one point growing up, I knew they believed in democracy, the process and voting and rights, but that's not what they see. And you see so many of these individuals, such as Mr. Becker, Todd Alba, coming forward.
Trigby Olson from the Lincoln Project.
Rick Wilson. I mean, yes. The list goes on and on.
George Conway.
Dick Cheney.
Yeah.
So, but the problem is, folks, is that the more every day more GOP leaders come out and endorse Kamala Harris. But every day I see Donald Trump on the world stage making a buffoon of himself and people thinking, that's my guy. I'll never understand it. Somewhere down the line, I said this, Dan Schaefer will write a book in like 30 years that will explain this election and I'll read it. But it boggles my mind that one man can be such a traumatic failure at things and yet is enjoying so much popularity.
The election is going to be close.
Yes,
it is. And we're going to talk in just a little bit about don't despair.
Yes.
Don't despair. And I certainly understand being anxious and the anxiety. We're going to get to that in just a little bit. But it is things like this that give me hope. And we still have 11 days. Maybe we will see more Republicans come out.
I think we will.
And announce their support for Kamala Harris. Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be, I'm looking forward to it. Honestly, I think we're going to see more and more. I think we'll see some more senators and congressmen. Who knows? Maybe someone who's actually sitting in the Congress right now.
Wouldn't that be something?
I would send them flowers. I would send them flowers and say, thank you for your bravery. I mean, it sounds like hyperbole, but really.
We'll send them flowers together.
There we go.
There's your opportunity, guys. You want a bouquet? We'll send you a bouquet for doing the right thing. And I just find it interesting that the Republicans who are coming out now and endorsing Kamala Harris, at least in my estimation, have more credibility than a Tulsi Gabbard who has now endorsed Donald Trump.
Who apparently, and someone correct me if I am wrong, she has officially joined the Republican Party.
I believe so, yes.
And I saw a bunch of tweets saying, I thought you already were in the Republican Party. Like, that's the thing is, like, for me, I feel like, and this happened in 2020 with Biden, 2008 with Obama, and we're seeing it now. When GOP members come and endorse the Democratic, the liberal, the left candidate, there is an enjoyment. There's a welcome. Here we go. Let's all do this together to maintain democracy. Whereas you get like Tulsi Gabbard and Bob Jr. and any other sort of wishy-washy. Jill Stein is embraced in their community, and they think that they are all, that they think they are the bee's knees. Like, we've got Tulsi Gabbard. I'm like, why do you think that's a flex?
Yeah. It's not quite the flex you think it is.
Exactly. New segment.
Not quite the flex you think it is?
Yeah.
I like that. Do you have any thoughts or feelings about Bob Coles coming out yesterday? Longtime Wisconsin Republican, 42 years in the state legislature. Mm-hmm. Any feelings about him coming out yesterday in support of Kamala Harris? 855-752-4842.
Are there any listeners right now who are leaning, who have changed their mind, have decided to vote for Harris? I know that the ones who call and tell us we're terrible aren't probably changing their mind.
I think that's pretty much a guarantee.
But even still, I want them to still think about it too, I guess. That's an ideal paradise. But is there anybody listening right now? Call or text. Have you changed your mind in the past few weeks, maybe the month? Maybe you've seen something. Let us know. I honestly would really enjoy hearing from people who, you know, I understand being behind a candidate. I understand, like, oh my gosh, this is my guy.
This is my guy, yeah.
My gal. But there has to come a breaking point.
For a certain segment of MAGA supporters, there is no breaking point.
No.
He could do anything.
Yeah, that's
considering, look at the cumulative effect of all the things he's done just in the last 10 years. Oh. And nobody blinks an eye. Starting with the Access Hollywood tape. And making fun of the disabled reporter.
Yeah.
I mean, it goes on and on and on. And there is no line for again, those hardcore Trump supporters. Everything he does will always be fine.
And really, another thing that's going to hopefully be looked at in the years to come is how the mainstream media has failed us in the reporting of those things.
Absolutely.
Right now, Twitter is all light of like a devastating October surprise. Nothing will happen that will derail his campaign.
No.
Because they're already saying, look out for deep fakes, look out for, you know, doctored AI videos. Don't worry about that stuff. Head down, move forward, vote, tell your friends, share what you know. Be a part of the solution.
I think that's a really important part of it, is share what you know.
Yep. That we're going to keep pushing that manner too.
Absolutely. Because you are the ambassadors who can then go to your community and explain, for example, why the latest constitutional amendment on this ballot is a bad idea.
Yeah. Yes.
It is a bad idea. It is yet again another effort to narrow the window of who is allowed to vote. And this constitutional amendment wouldn't necessarily change anything right off the bat, mm-hmm. but it opens the doorway to, again, narrow that definition. Instead of us wanting more Americans to vote, this will essentially make it harder.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem like a very pro-democratic thing to do.
Not at all.
We're going to tell you why we all need to take a breath when we come back. I will take a cleansing breath together. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. The Todd Alba Show.
Either Donald Trump or Kamala Harris is going to win this race. Don't be the person saying, I agree with Kamala Harris on 80%, but I was really ticked off about X. And I wanted to send her a message, so I didn't vote or I voted for someone else. And then you get Trump, and people are going to say, you can't have a national abortion ban. They have to listen to us. We're the people. It'll be too late. Your vote is powerful. Do not waste it.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Donald Trump was in the great state of Michigan, my birth state, and he insulted Detroit.
Our whole country will end up being like Detroit if she's your president.
You're in Detroit, man! I would tell you, sir, we would only be so lucky if we had the mentality of people trying to do better for their cities, for small businesses moving in. There's a renaissance going on in the city of Detroit.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
In a place you only dream of, where your soul is always. Good morning. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Mach, and Sweet Calby coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park. Here in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk continues to actively ruin. Coming up after the 10:30 news, we are going to be joined by James Vanderloo, and we're going to talk about tariffs and what tariffs do and who they affect and who actually, I don't know, seems important, pays for them.
Oh. Wait a minute. Are you telling me that first you're telling me that China is not going to pay for all the tariffs? Are you telling me that Mexico didn't pay for the wall?
Mexico did not pay for the wall.
Oh, I've made a huge mistake.
Oops. And just a heads up, Todd Alba today, he follows us from noon to 2 p.m. across the Civic Media Network. He will be having former Republican Congressman Reed Ribble on his show. That should be a great, great conversation. Make sure you join Todd today from noon to 2 p.m. As promised, we're going to all join together and hold hands and take a collective cleansing breath. We got 11 days, people.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing a lot of different things on Twitter, and people are freaking out and they're looking at polls and it's like, oh my God. Take a breath. Stay positive, stay hopeful.
Yes.
And think about what we can do in the next 11 days.
Let's name them off. What can you can vote.
You can vote right now.
Yep.
You can vote early through November 3rd.
If you've already voted, you can talk to your friends about voting. You can ask them if they have a voting plan.
If they need a ride.
Exactly. You can volunteer for a campaign.
You can still knock on doors.
You can make phone calls.
Yes.
You can send, I'm pretty sure you probably send some last second postcards. I'm not positive, but there are ways to get involved at your comfort level. Yep. If you really feel like you need to get the message out there. I mean, really, it's about, as Jane said, and we're going to keep pushing this narrative, it's share what you know.
Share what you know.
Talk to your friends. Talk to your, have that hard conversation that you.
Well, and I just think the more you know, in case anyone asks you.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, what is this constitutional amendment? It looks fine to me. Well, this is your chance to jump in and say, here's what this constitutional amendment will actually do.
Yeah.
So as Greg said, share what you know. Take it out there. Take it to your friends. And then take them to the League of Women Voters Wisconsin website. And you can clarify it for them because, again, they want to change one word. This constitutional amendment will change one word from every U.S. citizen can vote to only U.S. citizens can vote. That's already the case.
Yeah.
That only U.S. citizens can vote. That is already the law.
Yep.
So, again, it seems so often with our Republicans, they come up with solutions in search of a problem.
Yes.
This is not a problem.
Yeah.
So I will be voting no on the constitutional amendment because in my estimation, this is just going to open the door for them to narrow the definition of who is a U.S. citizen.
And do not let yourself be fooled. This is not a move to further voter integrity. This is revenge, vengeance, whatever you want to call it. When the two constitutional amendments failed. During the primary, yes, pretty handily. Robin Voss made it clear they're going to keep on doing this. So I don't really think that they care too much about voter integrity. They just want something to do. And they know this is divisive, and they know that the language is vague. And that's why you need to educate yourself. That's what we're doing, too. And we're sharing what we know. We're not experts. That's why we tell you go to the League of Women Voters Wisconsin website. They break it down very, very well.
Yes.
So share what you know. Get out there and vote. Make a plan. Help friends with voting. Talk to them. Get involved. And then I will say this then too, Jane. Treat yourself.
Yeah, treat yourself. Absolutely. 855-752-4842. Jean from Eau Claire is on the line. Good morning, Jean. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning, guys, and continue listening to Matt Nair on the air because they have great information that are factual-based. I'd like to give a shout-out for tomorrow morning. I've been listening to this since he started, James Santel.
So good.
And, yeah.
Yes, and he has an outstanding show. It's now called Amicus, a Law Review. It runs tomorrow at 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., and people who know me say, I've never seen you get up so early and hear something with your paper and pencil ready for law school.
He's
outstanding, and you guys are doing a fantastic job. Thank you for the League of Women Voters. I never knew that before, and how one word could impact all of us, especially women who have to go back and find their marriage certificate or their divorce certificate. So thank you very much, and keep up the great work, guys. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Jeannie. Jeez, you make our day.
Yeah.
You really do. You're such a nice ego fluff. I can't thank you enough.
I feel like Jeannie works for Civic Media. She doesn't, but I feel like she's just so positive, and she's like doing bumper ads for other shows.
Which is great. And seriously, James Santel's show is so good.
Yes.
He is so knowledgeable. He really breaks it down. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you can text in questions for James, and he would be happy to respond to those as well. And again, the number is always the same. It's 855-752-4842. Right now, too, you can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. So ignore the polls.
Ignore the polls.
Ignore the ads.
Ignore the hype.
They're so, the ads right now are so obnoxious.
Yeah.
And endless.
Yeah.
They're just endless. So rather than make your determination on who you're going to vote for by watching these ads, why don't you investigate it a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
Go to civicmedia.us/vote. We've got Dan Schaefer's great voter guide on the Civic Media website. It also has a link that will take you to myvote.wi.gov if you have questions there. But we have a lot of resources on our website. I would highly encourage you to check them out at civicmedia.us/vote. News is coming up next. When we return, we're talking tariffs. Who pays for them? How's that going to work? Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the vast, statewide, countrywide, global Civic Media Radio Network.
If I bid you see this place where stories all ring true, will you let me pass your face to see what's really you? It's not for me, I ask this question as though I were a king. Boy, you have to love, believe, and feel before the burst of tambourines take you there. Green grass and high clouds forever. Castles of stone, sold in glory. Lost places say.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabe.
CBS News Brief. Israel pounded Iran with a series of airstrikes overnight, saying it was targeting military sites. Spokesman Rear Admiral Daniel Hagari stressed this was retaliation for the missiles the Islamic Republic fired on Israel October 1st.
Our message is clear. All those who threaten the state of Israel and seek to drag the region into wider escalation will pay a heavy price.
Music superstar Beyoncé appeared at a massive rally in Houston Friday night with Vice President Harris.
We are at the precipice of an incredible shift, the brink of history.
Former President Donald Trump shrugged off comparisons to Adolf Hitler in a late-night rally at Traverse City, Michigan.
It's just like the 1930s. No, it's not. No, no. This is called Make America Great Again. That's all it's called. This is not right.
CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Bucks lose their home opener. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks started out hot, but could not keep up with the Bulls, losing 133-122. Chicago's Kobe White scoring 35 points. Bucks head coach Doc Rivers after the loss.
That was a disappointing game from us, but give them credit. Like, they shot the heck out of the ball. They played hard. They had more endurance than us. You can see that through the game. So give them a lot of credit.
The Bucks head east to play the Nets tomorrow night. College football. Wisconsin hosts number 3 ranked Penn State tonight in Madison. The Badgers 6.5-point underdogs. Baseball. The Dodgers with a 6-3 win in 10 innings over the Yankees in Game 1. Freddie Freeman with the first walk-off grand slam in World Series history.
Those are the kind of things when you're 5 years old with your two older brothers and you're playing football in the backyard, and those are the scenarios you kind of dream about. Base loaded, two outs in a World Series game, and for it to actually happen and hit a home run and walk it off, that's as good as it gets right there.
That's the Dodgers' Freddie Freeman. Game 2 tonight in L.A. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear and colder tonight, a low near 30. Sunshine for the weekend, highs in the upper 50s on Saturday. For Sunday, low 60s. Low 70s and breezy Monday. Staying in the 70s Tuesday, a chance of showers Tuesday night into Wednesday of next week. Currently 35 degrees.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I've got a couple reminders for you about minimum payments and credit cards. Right, get ready. I'm going to say two different things, both of which I bet sound familiar. Thing number one, never pay less than the minimum payment on your credit card. For some of us, there are months where that might not be possible. And if you're in that camp, I'm so sorry. I want to encourage you to set yourself a goal of never ever paying less than the minimum. And thing number two is, always pay more than the minimum payment. Just paying minimums month in and month out won't get you very far. Your total amount that you owe, the principal, is barely going to budge. Ideally, you're only using your credit card if you can pay off the whole balance every month. When that's not possible, try paying more than the minimum, but never less. For more reminders and money tips, head over to workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
The top-selling Halloween candies in every state over the past 17 years.
Oh,
Nicely done, Melissa. I'm not sure.
What, were you clearing your throat? What was that?
It was a macabre kind of.
It
like,
really was.
Why the 17 years? That seems a little.
That's arbitrary.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Candystore.com.
When they started making Halloween candy, guys.
Oh, yeah. 17 yeah, that's years definitely, ago. Definitely 17 years ago.
Weekdays from 8 to 10.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Will you dress up for Halloween and what will you wear?
I'm not going to lie. I'm a lazy Halloweener.
A lazy Halloweener.
I just wore a football jersey and call it a day.
I have a prisoner costume and it goes on over your other clothes. So I'll probably put that on when I take trick-or-treaters. I was never a huge Halloween guy to begin with. Never a huge Halloweener. A new phrase has been coined here tonight.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm joined by Ian Teal from the Wyawega Film Festival. And Deirdre and Stephen Starry drop by the studio to talk about the 125th anniversary of the Brown County Historical Society.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Gal B coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, early voting is underway. You can go cast your ballot. Do it right now. You have through November 3rd to vote early. Go to civicmedia.us/vote if you are looking for more information. Excited to talk to our next guest. He is the head at OEC Group Milwaukee, which is a global freight forwarder and a leading company in trans-Pacific trade. James Vanderloo, good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Jane, Greg, and Calvin. It's great to be with you all.
Well, this is something that we're hearing so much about, tariffs, and what tariffs means and who pays for tariffs. And so, James, let's start with the basics. What is a tariff?
That's a great question, and I listened to some of your conversation with Susan Rice yesterday, and she did a pretty good job of kind of explaining it, but also to go through it again. So its most innocent sort of interpretation, sort of the design, was to protect very specific industries in a domestic company and to sort of penalize bad foreign actors that were maybe taking advantage of certain trade policies or things like that. Sort of at its worst, and what it actually ends up kind of becoming over the years, is basically a price hike on domestic consumers, because you're basically penalizing the companies here for importing those goods, and then they pass on those cost increases to the consumer at their end of their day. And actually what it does beyond that is it raises the demand for domestic goods. And we all know the rules of supply and demand. So those prices also go up. So again, it's one of those things that maybe started out with good intentions, but it's not really a policy that we've used for a very, very long time in our history. And it's something that rarely, if ever, ends up having the desired effect that they intend it to.
Well, and again, the cost of these tariffs lands on the consumer. If I am making wooden dolls in China and I want to import my wooden dolls into China and we slap a 25% tariffs on that, then this toy maker is going to charge the people who are buying it here more for those dolls, and then they're going to charge their customers more, correct?
Correct. And that's definitely the case and definitely how it works. And specifically in the case with China, they're a little bit different because they're able to actually subsidize their local goods. So actually the net effect, it doesn't even really hurt them. It ends up just hurting the American consumer.
Then you have to wonder where someone would get the concept that tariffs are going to be this big financial windfall for America, and then we're not going to have taxes anymore because we're going to be making so much in tariffs that it's going to pay for everything.
Correct. Tariffs are, you know, a lot of things. What they certainly are not is a panacea or something that's going to cure all of the woes in our government. It was really interesting. I know that Trump's been obviously talking a lot about tariffs, and I've always had a negative sort of opinion about it. And so I kind of watched and kind of heard what he was saying. And I think he was speaking in front of a barbershop, and he elicited, I think, 1890, which was the McKinley Act. And if you actually go, and he was like, you know, we need to go back to this trade policy of the 1890s. And, you know, I'm no historian, but I think things have changed a lot since then. And beyond that, if you go back and look at the McKinley tariff, which was in 1980, during the Benjamin Harris administration, what happened was they increased tariffs like by 35% all across the board. And what ended up happening is that the farmers got totally, totally
destroyed
because, yep, because they had to pay a lot higher. They couldn't pay for their manufacturing equipment. And because of that, we've never really implemented tariffs at the levels that we're doing. And he's looking to go back to similar levels at this point. So I don't get it either.
I mean, it doesn't surprise me he wants to go back to 1890. He wants to go back to 1798, where you could throw anyone out of the country and lock up reporters. I mean, he's a guy who loves the past. But, you know, before this show, before working for Civic Media, I knew nothing about tariffs. And I feel like what I've learned about it is that it's seen as such an easy fix to make people happy. And when I hear someone throwing around the way of saying 2,000% tariff, how does that not ring a bell with anyone to go, at least within, I mean, I'm not going to ask his supporters, but like even within the media, be like, yeah, that's ridiculous. A 2,000% tariff, especially in a country he doesn't see as an enemy or an adversary. He loves China. Why would he do that to another country like that?
And that's you bring up a great point, because there's this idea of retaliation that happens a lot with tariffs. So Canada just recently did a similar tariff imposition on EVs and goods and things like that. And what China basically did was crash the price of canola in the market. And so it has wide ranging effects. A lot of times, and even with his past, the past tariffs for his previous administration, it really only created, 2,000 jobs. And if you look at it from a cost benefit ratio, that ended up costing about $800,000 per job. So that's it's a very expensive way to get job growth. And really, the only people that grew the jobs were foreign companies like LG and Samsung setting up shop here. So again, that's why a lot of economists, that's why a lot of people who look at this stuff a lot really don't think that tariffs are a great idea.
If you're just joining us, James Vanderloo is our guest. He's the head at OEC Group Milwaukee, which is a global freight forwarder and a leading company in trans-Pacific trade. And yes, we are talking about tariffs. James, you must talk to a lot of other business people who are in the same business that you are. They can't think that this is a good idea.
Well, and I remember even when they first had the tariffs, I remember kind of having to actually drive around and go pick up checks as quickly as possible, because what happens is that, you know, when these tariffs go underway, all of a sudden your price of goods goes way up. You owe much more to the, you know, much more to the government as a business. And all of a sudden they can say, well, your customs bond's no longer going to be valid because you're bringing in a way higher duty than you were in the past. So I remember going around all over the place picking up $30,000, $40,000 checks, but we had to get in within 24 hours so that they could do that. Additionally, I've talked to a lot of businesses around Wisconsin, and they kind of say like, hey, if Trump wins the election, I'm going to be calling you the morning after, and we're going to be having to have some really tough conversations about, you know, getting things out of Mexico or moving things other places, because it's definitely one of those things that it escalates very quickly. And then you're also going to see a rush of people bringing in that stuff prior to the tariff implementation, which is going to increase the cost of freight, which is going to increase the cost of everything. So that's just another added layer of costs that are going to be passed on to the consumer.
I wish you could put, I know that's a lot of text, but I wish you could put everything you just said on a billboard, because there's this notion that, you know, one side is pro-business, one side isn't, and I don't think that's true at all. And this idea that you are like, if he wins, you probably will have 2 to 3 days of phone calls alone and meetings saying, we need to seriously uproot these companies because now they are going to be in a place of financial possible ruin. Meanwhile, you have the guy still saying tariffs are going to fix it. And being pro-business, it's mind-boggling to me personally. I can't imagine what you're going through right now, James. I mean, it's like you work for a company. You're not a political expert, but here you are talking politics and what it does to affect you and your businesses.
I've got to say, like in our industry, we're dealing with, you know, things internationally. So there's always problems. This is kind of like a Tuesday for us in some ways, but you know, there is also this is definitely something that will have far reaching implications. It will certainly affect the economy in the short term, most likely negatively. We all assume that jobs will come back. But with automation and different things like that, that's not an assumption. And with unemployment rate as low as it is right now, it's tough to see where that demand comes in. But the real problem is the long-term effects. We don't really know. We're playing a game of Russian roulette. We're playing a game of chicken, basically. We don't know who's going to retaliate. Is it going to be us versus the rest of the world? Is it going to be, you know, us and the Western countries versus China? You know, these things escalate, and we saw that obviously happen last time these types of tariffs were implemented with the Section 301 tariffs. So you're absolutely right. It's going to generate a lot of chaos for sure.
Well, and think of the current state of the economy. Granted, grocery prices are high, mortgages are high, houses are expensive. But if you look overall at the economy, the stock market has been hitting records for months. Yeah. The unemployment rate is half of what it was 4 years ago.
Inflation's at 2.4%.
Yeah, so we're, at least globally, James, we're in the U.S. is a pretty good, is it in a pretty good economics place compared to other countries.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. China faces some huge problems demographically over the next few years. Growth in Europe is pretty sluggish. You're seeing U.S. is really the shining beacon right now, relative to a lot of countries. I know a lot of people don't feel that, mm-hmm. and there are certainly some struggles going on, but we are the ones that are still having, strong economic policies. And so that's kind of one of those things where it's tough to tell people who are really hurting at the grocery store, trying to buy a house. It's tough to convey to them that, you know, relative to the rest of the world, actually, we're not in the worst case.
But it certainly sounds like these tariffs would make things far worse for all of us just across the board. And correct me if I'm wrong, James, too, but One of the ideas behind tariffs is that if we don't allow companies to import these products, then we will start making them in the U.S. instead. Now, that's all well and good, but that's not something that happens overnight. That takes time to start a business, correct?
Correct. And one of the things that we are looking to do right now is obviously semiconductors are a big thing that we're all concerned about, especially with the possibility of China trying to possibly invading Taiwan sometime in the future. What a lot of people don't know about those semiconductors is it requires at least 9 different countries. It requires expertise from all over the world. So we're in a very globalized position right now, and that infrastructure takes at least 10 years to build. You know, and during that time, you're going to have all of these capital costs, which that capital cost is obviously higher with the higher interest rates right now. It's very expensive. You got to get people trained. You got to get it's a very, very long process. It does not happen overnight. And that's kind of, why it's sort of a difficult thing to predict and see what's going to happen. There are some industries like we've had a lot of production going down to Mexico. You're seeing decoupling going from China. And that's kind of, that's led to, other alternatives, but China's been really good at moving around to avoid those tariffs. So they can set up shop in Mexico, they can set up shop in Africa, they can go all over the place to sort of avoid those tariffs, but it's still a Chinese company shipping goods here. So, it doesn't really affect, again, the intended target.
Something you said just now, though, James, really sparked my brain here when you said it takes a number of countries working together to make this happen. You also need a strong leader who has good relationships with these countries. And right now with Trump, and I hate to harp on him, but he is a person who really works in favors and in vengeance and in, as you said, retaliation. And it's hard to build those bridges and those partnerships with a guy who on Wednesday could love you and on Thursday would be like, well, he didn't call me and say he liked me, so this is done. You can't have that sort of instability if you want to have these massive projects as you're talking about.
Yeah, well, I'll only use his words because, like you mentioned, I'm not necessarily a political, a political strategist or anything like that. But I know he does feel that, our country is getting the short end of the stick with a lot of these trade policies. And I think he intends to make good on his promises that he's going to have some very aggressive trade policies with some of our not only people that might consider, opponents or
adversaries,
but also our partners as well.
Yeah.
And just to let you guys know, we still have a tariff in place from almost 60 years ago for cars coming from Europe. So these things don't go away once they're implemented.
We're going to continue our conversation. James Vanderloo is our guest. He is the head of the OEC group in Milwaukee. We are talking tariffs. If you have a question, give us a call. Send in a text at 855-752-4842. We'll be right back. Keep it here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Up the blinds a Sunday afternoon. She wishes it could last forever, and he's begging her to stay. But she's got to pull herself together, 'cause there's a plane coming in from L.A. And she's got one for the money, two for the show.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. The Todd Alba Show.
Matt Flynn joining us. This is a text off the text line. Quote, I'm dreading that it's a little too late. The last few weeks of polls are extremely bleak.
This is not the time to get wobbly. The polls right now still show her in the lead between 2 to 3 points. She used to be ahead by 5 points. So what?
Charles Franklin at Marquette Law School says polls don't vote. People do. Have a plan. Be a voter, Matt.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Christina Reynolds of Emily's List. Donald Trump had a quasi-town hall.
There were two questions, one on abortion and one on IVF. What he did was claim he just wanted the states to get to decide, and it is a lie. When they call it a national minimum standard, they are saying, we want the federal government to get to decide and not you.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Calvinator on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk hates that we continue to call Twitter. We are talking tariffs right now with James Vanderloo. He is the head of the OEC group in Milwaukee, which is a global freight forwarder. So you have experience with tariffs. You understand how tariffs works, James. And I wanted to talk about businesses love stability, right? It's in order for any business, and this includes our farmers too, you need to have some kind of assurances so you can plan ahead for the next month or the next year.
Yeah, correct. We see a little bit of flat to poor performance in election years just because everyone's sort of waiting for what to do, you know, kind of waiting for what the next 4 years are going to go. Generally, business plans go from, they have 5-year, 10-year, and 20-year iterations. So that's definitely one of those things that they want stability in. And I can't reiterate it enough. This is really going to, if the tariffs go through at the levels that they go through, and again, when they're not targeted like they are, you know, possibly during the, you know, how Biden sort of utilized and how people in the past have utilized very, very specifically, it can really throw off things in a way that we can't quite measure. It's really difficult to say what's going to happen. It could cost, you know, hundreds of thousands of jobs, depending on how it works. It could cost, billions of dollars, depending on how it goes. It just really creates an environment that makes it very, very difficult for businesses to grow, especially if you're looking to grow outside of the U.S. market, which a lot of companies are. And that's what's so interesting about it is that's one of the things that everyone wants to do is everyone wants the U.S. to produce more, export more, and things like that. And this really only complicates that, and that only makes it difficult. And actually, I think if you look at his past tariffs, you actually see a net decrease in exports because they weren't able to, you know, there was retaliation, different things like that.
Well, and two, we talked about this earlier. This will have a big, big, big impact on our farmers.
Mm-hmm. And again, the concern that I talked about with the canola is a possibility with soybeans, sorghums, things that we send across the world. And what was so interesting is during COVID, a lot of times actually farmers hold off on shipping their goods because their margins are so small to begin with. When these giant spikes in transportation costs, or when there's huge amounts of congestion, where hey, all of a sudden, you know, my product's gonna have to sit there because there's a lot of congestion and it doesn't have a high shelf life. They just say, I'm sorry, we can't do business at the moment. And then what we have to do is give them subsidies to kind of act as a band-aid for the short term, but that doesn't solve their problem and that doesn't really give them the reprieve that they need. So yeah, it can definitely affect the farmers as well. And again, that's why I went back to the McKinley thing, is like that devastated farmers. And that was one of the main reasons why we didn't implement tariffs, since then.
Well, and yes, hearkening back to the 1890s, it was called the Gilded Age for a reason, because a very, very small proportion of the populace had a really good thing going on. And the rest of us, not so much. I mean, the wealth gaps in the 1890s were huge.
Well, and let's not kid ourselves. You know, we got the 20s and then we had one of the greatest depressions to ever come from that. So, I mean, you know, again, these things have consequences that are extremely difficult to measure. It's just one of those things where, you know, it's if you look at really any economics book, a tariff is not really considered to be a good word. It's only been successful in a very, very small percentage of very, very specific things. And so this idea that this overarching policy is going to be the great cure-all to all of our economic woes is just seems to be, in my opinion, again, is a little bit misguided because of just it doesn't take into account the fact that we have a very globalized system. Our supply chains are somewhat resilient, but they're not perfect. And these kinds of things can really break up long-lasting relationships that we've had. And then that's going to ripple out throughout the entire rest of the developing world as well.
You cannot go it alone economically anymore. Yeah. You just can't. It is it's all too intertwined. We're all part of the same global economy. It is a global economy. Andrew from Maine texting in, listening on WAUK. One important aspect for me of tariffs as taxes is that tax policy has to go through Congress. The president alone can enact tariffs.
That's a really good point. And that's something that that's a great point, which is that, you know, this is basically a tax without going out and campaigning and saying, hey, we're going to raise your taxes. And that's something that we see a lot, and if you really talk to most anyone that's kind of dealing with this now in sort of the government, I think they're aware that tariffs are going to be around for a while. Again, it's just if it's wielded in such an indiscriminate way, that's when this becomes a problem. There may be reasons why our government might need to use tariffs in the future. But again, what is being proposed is something that is beyond sort of the measure of anything that's realistic in our current conversation.
Well, as you said, if it's a very specific, very targeted tariff, that's one thing. But this across the board, tariffs on everybody, tariffs for all, is going to have major, major economic impacts. It's been such an interesting conversation, James. We'd love to have you back. James Vanderloo is with the OEC Group in Milwaukee. Thank you for talking tariffs with us. Really appreciate your time.
Hope you have a great weekend. Thanks, everyone.
You too, well. James.
News is coming up next. We'll come back with Dan Schaefer for some recombobulation area. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. So for Matt Nair on air.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we start our What Makes Wisconsin Great tour with Tracy Olson of the Lincoln Project and Reed Galen of the Union. Get on the road with us next time.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Ready, set, go. Get in the game and be heard with WFHR's Playmakers. Join us 5 to 6 Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We're here to take your calls, sports takes, and ramblings. We'll have breaking stories, game day conversations with players, coaches, and you. Nobody ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Join the team here at WFHR 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, 5 to 6 PM Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for WFHR's Playmakers.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. Israel has completed its overnight strikes against Iran. The Israeli military says their plane struck missile manufacturing facilities, quote, used to produce the missiles that Iran fired at the State of Israel. The BBC's Bahman Kalbasi has Iran's reaction.
The Revolutionary Guard has put out a statement saying a number of military bases were the target of this attack, but with the caveat of saying these were unsuccessful attacks. And in fact, one of the semi-official state media said there has been no missiles that hit any of the military bases named. And that the sounds that people have heard, they claim, are of the defense system against an incoming missile or an aerial attack.
The campaign trail took Vice President Harris to Houston last night for a massive rally that featured a couple of music stars with Texas roots, Willie Nelson, and then Beyonce.
All the men and women in this room and watching around the country, we need you. Your voice has power and magnitude. Your vote is one of the most valuable tools, and we need you.
Former President Trump held a late-night rally in Traverse City, Michigan.
You got a little dose of incompetent people. You know where she is tonight? She's out partying. So Israel is attacking. We got a war going on, and she's out partying.